From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, November 7th. I'm Abby Larico. Election day is over, but the impacts of the vote are now beginning. What our reporters are watching next. Plus, St. Louis Art Museum is now showing an exhibition of African art that includes paintings, photographs, multimedia work, and more. It's a wider selection than museum goers typically see.
Opening up the view to seeing that African art is actually much more bountiful and much more diverse.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports on the narrative power of African art. That's coming up on The Gateway. Missouri's Planned Parenthood providers are suing to undo Missouri's abortion restrictions after the passage of a constitutional amendment protecting the procedure. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on how the lawsuit goes beyond the state's strict abortion ban.
Hours after Missourians passed what's known as Amendment 3, the state's St. Louis and Kansas City-based Planned Parenthood branches sued to undo the state's ban on most abortions. They're also trying to get judges to strike down other abortion restrictions, including a 72-hour waiting period and requirements that physicians have hospital admitting privileges. Richard Munez of Planned Parenthood Great Plains says his group is asking a judge to strike down the laws by December 5th, the day Amendment 3 goes into effect.
Our plan and our hope is to provide the first abortions in Missouri again on December 5th.
Amendment 3 would allow the legislature to restrict abortion after fetal viability. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The question of legal sports wagering in Missouri might not be answered for weeks because of how close the vote was. Missouri Constitutional Amendment 2 passed with a margin of only about 7,500 votes, or about a quarter of a percent. Ballot questions filed with the Secretary of State are eligible for a recount if the margin is half a percent or less. A spokesperson for the office says they've already notified local election boards that an Amendment 2 recount may be on the horizon. Vote totals will also change as overseas ballots come in. Those are due Friday. A recount can be requested after all elections are certified in early December. Applications are open for the next prosecuting attorney of St. Louis County. County Executive Sam Page announced the process Wednesday. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman reports.
Wesley Bell handily won election to Congress on Tuesday. That means he'll have to resign as county prosecutor. Under the county charter, Page has the authority to name his replacement, although county council confirmation is required. At an event for Bell on election night, Page told reporters that a, quote, whole lot of people had already expressed interest in the post and had told him what they want to see in a replacement.
I'm just going to let the process work, let people apply, and let the process go to work.
Applications will be accepted through November 15th. The committee will do an initial screening. Page will interview the finalists before making his pick. Whoever is chosen will serve until the end of Bell's term in 2026. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
This week's record rainfall continues to impact area roads. The Missouri Department of Transportation announced it's shutting down Route 141 under Interstate 44 in St. Louis County this morning through the weekend because of expected flooding on the Merrimack River. The National Weather Service warns of major flooding moving down the river, predicting crests in Valley Park this afternoon, Pacific tonight, and Fenton tomorrow morning. The NWS expects water to cover parts of Highways F and O and Gravois Road in the coming days. Two people were killed in flash floods in the St. Louis area earlier this week. The region was drenched in a record 3.75 inches of rain Monday. Residents in East St. Louis say the city isn't doing enough to address sewage issues that have plagued the area for decades. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimley spoke with one woman who says her calls for help often go unheard.
58-year-old Terry Barnes has lived in her home on Belmont Avenue for 29 years. She says flooding has been a constant problem in her area since 2015, and she says the city hasn't done enough to address it. Heavy rains that hit the Metro East on Tuesday caused high waters outside her home that lingered Wednesday.
Every time it rains over here, we get this type of weather. Even if it's rain for like an hour, 2 hours straight, it's still right here and it floods. I'm very frustrated, and then I reach out to the city. They don't respond.
Workers from the city's Public Works Department began removing water from her neighbors' yards on Wednesday. City officials say new water pumps ordered a year ago should arrive soon and help alleviate standing water. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Operators of short-term rentals in the city of St. Louis have until May 6th to get a permit or risk losing their ability to host guests. Mayor Tashara Jones rolled out the city's new permitting process Wednesday for sites like Airbnb. It's part of new regulations that lawmakers approved last year and separate from the short-term rental fees voters approved Tuesday to help bolster city housing initiatives. In addition to getting a permit, short-term rental operators will have to meet certain standards to keep that permit. Those include having someone available to respond to problems within an hour. There are also new limits on the number of rentals in a multifamily building and the number of units that a single owner can operate. Black sororities have long been known for raising awareness about voting and political issues. Alpha Kappa Alpha members gathered in an election watch party Tuesday, didn't get the results they'd hoped for, but still, the region's members who'd mobilized for Vice President Kamala Harris say they will continue the push for investment in institutions like historically black colleges and universities. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
HBCUs across the nation are historically underfunded. Some are at risk of losing their accreditation, and presidents are desperately seeking federal funding to boost enrollment. St. Louis is home to one HBCU, Harrisdale State University. Its president, LaTonya Collins-Smith, who is also an AKA, said Tuesday at an election watch party that she's working to get federal dollars to build out the university's infrastructure.
My hope is that we can continue on the pathway in which we started the last 8 years and making sure that HBCUs are taken care of and that they are at the forefront of everything that is actually happening.
Colin Smith says Harris Stowe also needs federal dollars to help expand its cybersecurity program. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Fort Zumwalt School District in St. Charles County has named Henry St. Pierre as its next superintendent. He will replace Paul Myers, who plans to retire at the end of the school year. Myers has worked with the district for 26 years, the last two as superintendent. St. Pierre has served as deputy superintendent for the last 2 years. He was previously the principal at Fort Zumwalt East High School in St. Peter's. The district faces ongoing challenges with retaining teachers and substitutes, like many school districts across the nation. It also has a shortage of school bus drivers. St. Pierre is set to start in July of next year. The St. Louis Art Museum is now showing the largest exhibition of African art it has ever organized. Narrative Wisdom in African Arts is a show that spans centuries and includes sculpture, paintings, photographs, and multimedia work. The idea is to illuminate how African artists have told stories, from tales about national identity to scenes from daily life. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
The cavernous main hall at St. Louis Art Museum is a tough place to play music, especially on a recent Friday evening with folks at a special event milling around with drinks and chatting. But an ancient instrument cuts through it all. That's the sound of musician David A.N. Jackson blowing through a conch shell. It fills the room and echoes off the high walls. Jackson is here for the member preview of SLAM's exhibition of African art. He's set up in a corner with an assortment of hand drums.
This right here is the fei, it's the gourd. This is gome.
The exhibition all got started with a chair, a wooden chair with carved figures all over it. It was owned by a chief of the Tshokwe people in Central and Southern Africa. Nicole M. Bridges, SLAM's curator for African art and the chief curator behind the exhibition, says the chair tells a story.
The narrative here reinforces the reach and legitimacy of the chief who owned the chair. And so each person in that community who could recognize themselves, maybe pictured in one of the scenes, would recognize themselves and their place in the society underneath the chief's rule.
The exhibition looks at, and sometimes listens to, many ways African artists have remembered and retold their stories. Bridges says the show
celebrates the perpetuation of knowledge and wisdom across generations, mainly through oral histories and oral traditions, and this intersection between the visual and the verbal.
But why just talk about that? A recent performance of the museum's auditorium put it into action. Ya'okba Sissoko is a master of the kora, the sweet-sounding stringed instrument that West African storytellers have played for centuries while passing down history from one generation to another. From the stage, he said music can speak to people anywhere in the world.
Each of our songs has a message, because the best way to send a message is to send them to music, because music is a world language.
Other artworks include a flag from Ghana that celebrates the election of President Barack Obama, and a throne made from munitions used in Mozambique's civil war. There's a sound piece by Nigerian-American artist Emeka Ogbo, featuring an artist performing mbem, an ancient performance art combining song and speech. Ogbo describes his piece in the exhibition's audio guide.
Mbem plays a crucial role in transmitting cultural knowledge and history, and in this piece, it narrates the story of the Bantu migration, a significant event in African history.
The show includes work borrowed from many museums, but the permanent collection of African art at SLAM is heavy on a few things, like figure sculpture and masks, Bridges says.
My hope is that our visitors have a way of putting that presentation into context by opening up the view to seeing that African art is actually much more bountiful and much more diverse.
The museum is planning more events that flesh out themes about storytelling and remembrance, including a new theater piece by the Black Rep inspired by the exhibition. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Howard David Cazares edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.